Okay, so I want to finish this sugya up today. We've been working on it, you know, in different parts of it for the last month and a half or so. Okay, this table's about to collapse on me.
It's that side. Just kick it up. Kick it up. The whole thing. Yeah, okay, not a little too far.
Okay, the first thing I want to do is we've had this little story in the Gemara of Yehuda Nasiya, who got the present. I don't really want to get into it. There's all these like Dionim and the Rishonim and the Acharonim. Who is this Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya? Because he can't be the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi because he's talking to Rish Lakish, so he must be an Amora, so he must be the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Great. We've cleared that error. I'm sure all of you are bothered because you are totally on top of the chronology here. But the Rishonim have an important machlokas, which is why does the Gemara tell us a story about Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, about this chashuv person, this very important person, and how does that relate to our sugya? So you saw it. So tell me, what does the Ritva say? Why does the Ritva say that the Gemara highlights that it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya?
Because it all depends on the person. Like we said only for.
What does he say? Why don't you open it up? What does the Ritva say? Guys, Ritva. Vavu Mbez. Yeah.
And here. Right? Yeah, not here.
Ritva. Oh, the pink books.
Yeah, so Nachum, so what does the Ritva say? Yeah. Right, so what is right? So the Ritva says that well, first logically, right? There are three possibilities. One is that it doesn't matter, right? Meaning that happens to be the person in the story, but you don't learn anything from it. So yeah, you were in the right place. So Ritva says at the end of the same piece that we had seen, right? We'd seen most of this. And he says that what? Right? We'd read through this Ritva carefully before. And what does he say? So he says, let me find the exact place. What's going on here? The whole table is shaking.
Shimon's erasing. Everyone's gonna hear.
That's what it is. Okay. So the
all those little people inside the recorder.
Is the recorder? Are they even listening?
I have no idea. So what does the Ritva say? One second.
Isn't it like right at the end there, the God of Rabba part?
Yeah, there you go. Right, yes. Perish, Java Gav the Sharmisham Eva, Kdarinan Gava Rabba Kihai, Mibarle Takune Bay, Koma Dev Shar. So Ritva says, what's the issue here? Shimon?
We're dealing with a big Gava Rabba, a Chashuv guy.
Right, and why is that important?
Because depending on who the person is will depend on how a guy would react.
No, that's the Miri. The Ritva says, again, Afa gav de shari mishum eva. He said, technically, it's permitted to take the present.
Oh.
But why does he tell him not to? Because gabra rava ki hai mi barle tegune bechol de mehadev shar. Because if you're a chashuv person, so you're supposed to try to be as machmir as possible. So technically, you're allowed to keep the present. You're allowed to take the present because the Ritva has already established that he thinks it's permitted to do things when it's going to cause animosity. So he says, really, you're allowed to keep the present, no problem.
So he's saying to be more strict on
correct.
The whole idea of
Now, this is something we'll have to see throughout the Masechta. We'll see how many of the sukkahs we actually get to. But the Gemara many times introduces this notion. It's not unique to Masechta Avodah Zarah, though it does come up quite a lot in the Masechta compared to other Masechta, which is that we have certain expectations of the average person, and we have higher expectations of people who are. Chashuv people. And who are chashuv people. Now, the Taj Bates does suggest, and this is important because the Taj Bates is a Talmud of the Ritva. Well,
Shimon.
Exactly. We have higher expectations of Shimon than anybody else. So the Taj Bates, who's a Talmud of the Ritva, writes that we actually, specifically in the context of Avodah Zarah, we employ this. Meaning it's not true of every mitzvah. It's not like a chashiv person has to go out of his way and be more machir in every single mitzvah and call it terukula. But in the case of Avodah Zarah and Avodah Zarah related Yisurim, it's particularly important. And we can come up with why that is. Is it because Avodah Zarah is more machmir? Is it because Avodah Zarah stands for like the opposite of our ideology? So it's there it's specifically important that the people who stand or leaders of an ideology, they have to go out of their way to oppose Avodah Zarah, right? We can come up with all types of svaro. But that's how the Ritva understands it. The Meiri understands it literally the opposite, right? Well, not the opposite. Meiri understands it very differently. How does Meiri understand it, Shimon?
That because he's a Gavra, like a Gavarava, or a Chashuv guy, the non-Jew is going to take it more harshly for him to not.
No, so that's not what he says. So, do you remember last week I told you the crazy case of an important person who normally, if you want to get married, so all of you guys, you know, start saving up. If you want to get married, you have to give something to your future wife. It's a tremendous amount of money. Tremendous amount of money.
What do you mean? Regular person.
What do you mean? What kind of a giving you mean?
I'm joking. It's almost nothing. You can give a shavar pruta. The minhag is to give a ring, but a gold ring doesn't really cost that much. Gold ring is like $200.
No, but an engagement ring.
But the engagement ring has no halachic significance whatsoever. The engagement ring, you'd better start saving up for the engagement ring. But halachically, the engagement ring is totally irrelevant. It's the simple gold band.
You're saying that it doesn't. If the guy's not that posh of a guy, it doesn't actually matter.
But where does he get that from? Yeah, but where does he get that from? Right. So you remember we said that when you accepting a present. Right, and the fact that a chashuv person is willing to accept your present in halacha has monetary value. So the Meiri says, you know why we're talking about a chashuv person here? Not because the chashuv person has to be more machmir and avoid the present. No, it's the average person, right? A guy comes and gives me a present. He's not going to be so happy. So I accepted a present from him. I'll accept a present from anyone who wants to give it to me. I'm not picky.
If someone comes back and gives me cash, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm not picky. Right, you want to give me a present? Sure, assuming it's something I want, you know, cash,
I'm
sure.
So glad
cash.
Shim and cash. No one's going to be saying that.
You know? No one's going to, you know.
Just kidding. Everyone is want to give me cash. You should feel
yeah, everyone can. Is
it very much supporting a guy in yeshiva?
Yes. But the Meiri says, look, the average person, if a guy comes, gives you a gift, so fine, go home, because he's not going to be so happy. You really think, I mean, how big of an ego do you have for the average person to say, oh, I accepted a gift from the guy, and now he's going to go to Mass, and he's going to say an extra Hail Mary, or whatever they say, to thank Jesus, because Shimon was willing to accept his cash. I'm pretty sure anybody here wanted to give Shimon cash, he'll take it, he's not going to ask too many questions, right? Look, if it's in a suitcase and it's unmarked bills, right, you know, he might still take it, but he might ask some questions first.
I won't even ask questions. I will take it and we will part
ways.
Okay,
now that we've clarified that. But the Meiri says the reason we focus on Adam Chashuv is because, remember, the whole context here is we're worried that the guy is going to. The Avodah Zarah is going to give a present. He's going to be so happy, so enthralled by the fact that you accepted his gift. He's going to go and thank his Avodah Zarah. He said, that's only happening. You know, that's like I sent a present to whatever. Someone sends a present to the Queen of England and she writes back a personal letter. Thank you so much for the present. Ah! Right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the type of thing, you know, you frame the letter, she acknowledged my presence, right? It meant something to her. She has whatever she needs, her palace and whatever. I don't want to get into American politics. I don't want to know whether people are happy, not happy to send something to the president. I don't care.
I don't think
right?
He actually reads the letters. I think he just...
Bob?
I don't think he actually reads the letters.
Yeah, I think he reads...
Of course not. The interns do. The interns read it. I know. I had a friend who was an intern in the White House. What do you think he did? And then when it was his parents' anniversary, he got a letter, you know, wishing them a happy anniversary. It's pretty easy if you're in charge of writing the letters. Uh-huh. And then he got the... I think he did get the president to sign it, but okay. Not this
I
president.
I got a letter from George Bush.
There you go.
Bush? Yeah.
For what?
I don't know, like in, like, third grade, we were all supposed to send him, like, a letter, and we did.
That same, yeah.
And I did, and I was the only guy, kid in my class who got some form of letter back.
There you go. Okay, so that was point one that I wanted to do. Point two, and I mentioned this all the way at the beginning. We looked at this months ago. But, okay, did you guys actually read the Gemara all the way down to the bottom of the Amud?
Yeah. To the two dots, no?
But to the two dots at the bottom of the Amud.
Where's the two dots? How far up? I mean, you said it like... Oh, okay, fine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're like 10 or 10 lines up.
Yeah, that's...
Towards the end of the book. Okay, fine. So, yes, Max.
Is this also going along with what you said about just generally studying the essay and mention this?
I mean, yes, Meiri.
Is an odd.
Right. Yeah, but the Meiri says that none of this applies nowadays at all because we're talking about people who are Gedurim and Gedurim. You're right. Meiri just think, theoretically, in the time of the Gemara, when we're talking about actual idolaters who he doesn't really believe, you know, are in his world anymore. Right, in his... Correct, yes.
Meiri was the one that found recently in Vatican
Archives,
or...
That's what people say, but it's not really true. I mean, we had access to Meiri through the Shittim Gubetzet for a very long time. The Shittim Gubetzet we've had for hundreds of years, and he quotes the Meiri extensively, meaning there was a short period of time that we didn't have full manuscripts, but it's fake. When people say no one knew about the Meiri until, like, the, you know, it's not true.
We didn't have his writings.
We didn't necessarily have the full manuscript, but we had very extensive citations of him. Right, and we had some, you know, it's whatever.
Well, different citations than actually having the source material.
No, not like someone summarizing him. Like Shittim Gubetzet just copies and pastes. So we had like extensive portions of the Meiri.
But you're missing.
Fine. So you're right. So some of the positions that we have, which we get fuller picture now, we have the whole Meiri in a nice academic edited version.
The full explanation of this now. Is it still holding the same way? Or?
The Meiri is explaining the sugya, right? The Meiri here is saying that in the Gemara, when we're talking about actual idolater, this was the halacha. You're right. The Meiri thinks that basically the whole first parak of Avodah Zarah doesn't apply nowadays, but that doesn't stop him from trying to explain the Gemara in its own context, right? No, Meiri is much later.
It's much younger.
Much later. Yeah. Okay. So if you continue in the Gemara, So we mentioned this all the way at the beginning of the Yosef.
Yeah.
We mentioned this all the way at the beginning of the year, right? That Rashi, remember, on Vavim and Aleph, the Gemara says, "Why is it usher do business?" The Gemara raises two possibilities: Lifnei Iver or Harvacha. And Rashi understands Harvacha to mean
silly.
Azul
Modev. Rashi understands Azul Modev Harvacha to mean Azul Modev, that the guy will go and thank his idol. And you will therefore be the proximate cause of idol worship, and that's why it's prohibited. Right? Now, where does Rashi get this from? So Rashi gets it from the fact that Gemara later on, right, meaning right here, explicitly says that certain Yisurim are from that. Right? So the Gemara says, L'hashilan v'lishol mehen, lending and borrowing. So the Gemara says, Bishlama l'hashilan dekamaravach lahu. I understand why you can't lend them. You're giving them something. They're benefiting. I'm sorry. Yeah. Avalishol mehen, but why can't you borrow? You're taking something away. Mu'utikamamai lahu. So Amar Abaye gzira lishol mehen atu l'hashilan. So Abaye says, no. The problem is, we don't let you borrow because you might lend. Which is a classic zera. Rava Amar kulam. Kula mishum da azul modehu. And Rava says, no. Whether you borrow something from someone or you lend something to somebody, they are going to go thank their God. Right? If you borrow from them, they'll say, oh, the Jew needed my help. That's great. Right? Now he owes me one. Right? Or I feel so chashuv that I could help him. And if you lend him something, so obviously he's going to thank his God because now he has the thing that he needed to borrow from you. Then the Gemara says, "Lavos and lovos mehen, borrowing and lending money." Right? Remember, different sheila and halfa'a is borrowing and lending an object versus borrowing and lending money. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam al halvosa mishum de kamaravach lehu." And lovos mehen amai. So the Gemara says, "I understand why you can't lend them money because you're giving them more money. Why can't you borrow money from them? You're going to have they'll have less money over chag, over their holiday, over their aid." So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye gzeira lelavos meinatu lahalvos." So Abaye says again, "It's a gzeira that you can't borrow because you might lend." Rava Amar kulu mishum dazul modehu. Rava says, "No, it's because he's going to go and thank his God again." And then the third one, the Gemara said, "Lefor'ah, and we'll throw on my hand to borrow money, to pay back money, or to be paid back." Said Bishlam, "Lefor'ah, Misham, the Gemara Avachlu." I understand that you can't pay him back because now we'll have more money in his pocket. But if you make him pay you back, he's going to have less money. So again, Amar Abaye, Gzeira, Lefra, Man, Atu, Leforan. Abaye says it's just a Gzeira. Rav Amar, Kula Mishim Dazel Modehu.
Didn't we say that he's going to be happy that he finally doesn't owe money?
The Gemara says at the end. But so far the Gemara hasn't said that. So the Gemara says, "Utriche, we need all of them. Why? If it's talking about business, so there they're actually benefiting, so he's going to go thank his God. But to borrow from him, where he's going to have less, you'd say it'd be mutter. And if you just said you can't borrow, you'd say, look, it's chashuv for Shimon to borrow from me. I feel great. I managed to help do a favor for Shimon. It makes me happy. But I don't want to lend him money. He wants to borrow my. He wants to borrow something from me. He wants to borrow my sayfair. That makes me happy. You want to use my sayfair anytime. You want to borrow money? Not necessarily. You might have thought not. Amar Tuv Lo Hadrizuze, because the guy would be worried. You know, the money may never get back to me. I don't have that worry with Shimon. The Eton of us, man, and if you're going to say to borrow from them, Mishum, what? Exactly. Shimon is my right hand man. Come on.
I'm his right hand. I'm his goat too.
He's also literally on my right hand, right hand side right now. If you'd like, Max, I can use you as an example. I would love for Max to borrow my safer and read through all of it. It would make me so happy. Lending him money!
That's just checking.
What? No, Okay, Shimon, it is objectively true that anyone who wants to borrow a safer and read through it beginning to end, I will be thrilled.
Of course.
Right? You know, it's...
You should wait till your boxes are unpacked.
What?
Till your boxes are unpacked.
Yes, there's like four books that are like unpacked, you know,
right,
like from random things. But I'm happy for you to read them too. But he says, maybe of a little of man sarba alma is lay, but to borrow money from them just makes them sad. Amar tuv larger zuzi, I'll never get it back. We done a little of man. And if you say you could borrow from them, mishum dekamer bal korcha mefrana, maybe it's there. He says, you know what? He's going to have no choice to pay me back. Vahashta mia azul modem. But now we'll thank his God of Liparamein to make them pay back the Zulo Hadre Zuze. The money's never getting back, right? I forced him to pay me back. Emat Sara is late. Velo Azul Boda Tricha. So say it calls him pain. So and he wouldn't thank the God his God, Kamashwan, he will. Okay. So basically, yeah, and Shimon asked me before. He said, is what we're about to do any chiddush? Don't we know this already? And the answer is yes, we do know this, right? We've been through this before. Rashi takes this sugya and uses it to explain everything, right? And Rashi says the whole sugya, whenever you see the word harvacha means azul modeh. The whole sugya is about azul modeh, right? Everything is about, we're worried that he is going to thank his God. But Rabbeinu Tam, right at the beginning of the Masechta, said it's not true. He said it's not true. He says everybody agrees that borrowing money and lending money and borrowing objects and lending objects, that's only usher because of Azul Mode. He's going to go thank his God. But the machlokes and davavam and aleph, when it says, why is it asr because of lifnei iver or harvacha? That wasn't about azul modeh. That was talking specifically about one thing. Why can't you sell him things? And the answer to that was either lifnei iver or harvacha, which Rabbeinu Tam said is that I'm giving him a better quality thing that he can choose from for his avodah zarah. Because business is different. He said business, and why? Rabbeinu Tam said, because business, he's not going to go and thank his God. Right? He's not going to go thank his God for business. Why not? Because he's paying for it. Right? If you borrow, you do him a favor. Someone might be thankful you did a favor. You sold him something? He's not going to go thank his God because, oh, Baruch Hashem, I paid money and I got what I paid for.
Right.
Right? That's how business works.
Right.
And therefore, Abinu Tam says, Rashi's wrong. Right? Rashi says the whole sugya is about thanking his idols. It's not true. The whole sugya is not about that. That's why you can't do favors for him. You can't borrow. You can't lend. You can't pay back. Things like that. But business, straight up business, he's not thanking his God for that. The problem is that you're involved in the idolatrous practice.
Right.
And therefore, what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Remember, Rabbeinu Tam's limitation, it's limited to what?
Go on. Sure.
To where he lived.
No, remember. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? The only type of thing you can't sell him is?
Oh, things that are used for Buddhism.
Correct. And where did Rabbeinu Tam get that notion? Because he rejected Rashi. Rashi said it's all business items, because if it's about him thanking his God, why should he thank his God more for a carbon than he would for a flat-screen TV? Right, you could have said that. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's not about Ozil Modeh. It's Ozil Modeh is only you can't do favors for him. You can't borrow, lend, things like that. But when it comes to business, he's not going to thank his God because you did business with him. Big deal. He gave you money. You gave him something in return. That's how life works. There's no big chiddush here.
Right.
And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam said, that's why when the Gemara says, why is it usher to do business with him? And it didn't answer Ozil Modeh. Right? And he doesn't understand Harvacha Zazel Modeh. Why was that? Because he said that's not what it's about. Right? Rashi misunderstood the whole sugya. Only the later part of the sugya is about Azul Modeh. But for Rabbeinu Tam, the issue of business had nothing to do with he's going to go thank his God. It had to do with Harvacha. It had to do with Lifnei. That's why the Gemara asked. So there should be no Chiddush. We've seen this.
Okay.
We've seen this before. Yes? You remember this? But that's just the point. Right? That's why when the Gemara... The Gemara is the one who introduces Azul Modeh. Right? Rashi doesn't pull it out of thin air.
Right.
What Rashi does is he extends that even to the prohibition of business. And Rabbeinu Tam says it's not true. It's not true. Okay, that's point two. The last point in this sugya, and then if you realize, right, I know it feels like we've gone a bit slowly, but we've done two blot, right? We've actually done two full blot, right? We've done Vav. We've done half of Zion and half of Beis, right? Which is basically the sugya. And we've done the question of why is it us to do business? The nature of Lifnei Iver, the extensions of Lifnei Iver, Misayeya, Harvacha. We've done the question of what counts as Avodah Zarah for these purposes, Christianity and Islam and the Meiri's position in Christianity. And we've dealt with... We dealt, if you remember, we spent a day on the question of God Lama Tzuva V'yosa. We took a little bit of break at the beginning. But we've really covered this sugya pretty extensively, right? I know it feels a bit slow, but we've actually done two blot very, very carefully at this point. The last thing that I want to touch on the sugya is this issue of Miskayim. Because at the beginning of the Amud, the Gemara had said that, if you remember, the only type of thing that's usher to sell them is a davar hamiskayim, right? Something that's going to last.
Uh-huh.
Now, the simple understanding is, why is it a problem to sell something that's going to last?
Because it's going to last through the holidays.
It's going to last through the holidays. And if something isn't going to last through the holidays...
It'll be a remembrance.
Right?
No?
Yeah, but today even vegetables can last. They can buy it the day before.
Correct, and stuff like that. But the Gemara raises this issue and says... That's an annoying noise. Okay. So what is this whole Miskayim thing? So at some point I just decided, you know what, I really just want to finish today. So I don't want to get into all the details. So what I gave you was, I gave you the Beis Yosef, right? And we're just going to read through the Beis Yosef. This is one of those things. When you want...
You wanted to get finished for today. That seems like you want to go forever.
No, look. What is the Beis Yosef? Yosef, what is the Beis Yosef?
It's like, Oh, wait, no, we're backtracking. My bad.
What is the Beis Yosef? So Shulchan Aruch is the Kitzer Sefer, right? It's where Rabbi Yosef Karo gives you the bottom line. Right? Rabbi Yosef Karo thinks you should read Shulchan Aruch every 30 days. Which I'm sure as a good Sephardi, you do. You've gone through all of Shulchan Aruch at this point, I assume, 150 times. I'm shocked. Really, what's shocking is that Rabbi Yosef Karo thought that anyone could read the Shulchan Aruch.
Robert sure did it already, but I'm saying I myself have not done it yet.
Okay? Shulchan Aruch isn't meant for rabbis. Shulchan Aruch is meant for balabatim. It's meant for the average person.
Right, but he has to know, the average person has to know himself, so therefore...
Beit Yosef is meant for rabbis. Right? The Beit Yosef is his encyclopedia.
Right?
It's written on the Torah. It's an encyclopedia of basically everything you need to know to Paskin. Right? All the main sheet and Rishonim, the basic sugyot. So if you want to... I know you think that this piece looks long, but it's really not. It's just a summary. Right? It you know, if I gave you all the Rishonim, it would take you a lot longer. I'm just giving you the...
He quoted Rashi at some point, wasn't it?
And then he quotes all the Rishonim, right? So when you want to just get a basic idea of what's going on in a sugya, you want to get the basic idea of la halacha, the Beis Yosef is a great place to go. I know it looks long, but it's really not. You know, compared to the whole sugya. Look, Nachum, if I told you, instead of reading a book, right, read... you know, the cliff notes, and I gave you the cliff notes, and it's one page,
right.
Would you tell me, oh, that's so long?
No.
No. So why is it, I give you a half-page Beis Yosef?
I didn't know he was quoting.
It's a cliff notes. What is the Beis Yosef? It's cliff notes, right? It's the cliff notes of, admittedly, all Rishonim on the sugya, but still.
But again, I hate reading.
Okay, well, fine.
So anything is quite long to me.
I'm not saying it's a short piece, but I'm saying, objectively speaking, right, he's taking what's left of the sugya and he's summarizing it.
Right.
So let's just read through it. Again, this is one of those things, I felt we needed to at least touch it, because Gemara brings up, this is Miskayim, I don't want to get caught up in it. So, okay. So the Beis Yosef is actually going to give you a summary of both issues, both Miskayim and the issue I just said, the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, about the relationship of Azel Moda to everything else. So let's sit with me.
What do you mean the relationship with Azel Moda?
Between whether Azel Moda is for all different types of business, I mean business and borrowing and lending or whatever, or like Rabbeinu Tam says, it's only for borrowing, lending, and you know, things like that, but the actual prohibition on business is because of something else, it's Lifnei Iver, right? That issue, that Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, he summarizes. So I just gave it to you to summarize the whole sugya, which I know it looks long, but if you read with me, I'm not going to ask you to read. It is too bit of a long piece for me to ask you to read, but read with me, like pay attention. The practice of reading should help you. Okay, so here's what he says. Rashi understands that the prohibition of business is because he's going to go thank his God. Rashi on the Mishnah said that everything in the Mishnah is asur because of Azil Umode, because you're causing the guy to go thank his God. And based on what he said in the Gemara, Mashma Diktani Masnisan Anu Maso Matan Shel Mekach Umemkar. It sounds like he thinks this even for buying and selling. That even buying and selling, we're worried that the reason I'm not going to let you buy and sell is because he'll go thank his God.
It's like six things that you're not allowed to.
Right, that everything, including business, Rashi says is because he's going to thank his God. Because of our rush, Rabbeinu Tam, but the rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam, which is also an Artosvos, Hiksha loved it. Rabbeinu Tam asked on this. He said, Rabbeinu Tam rejects this and says, no. First of all, not all business is asur. The only type of business that's asur is what? Nachum.
Is for Avodah Zarah.
Good, the things he's actually used to bring for Avodah Zarah. Lefichach perish Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam said, Lo shayach azul moda ela bilahashilo ulahalvosa ulifaro. Azil Umode, we're only worried he's going to thank his God when you lent him money, when you lent him an object, when you paid him back. Why? Because he profited from it. He benefited from it. Right? Sagi. A lot. And if you borrow from him, so we saw Rav and Abaye, either it's a gzera because if you borrow you might end up lending, or because he's so thrilled that the Jew accepted his his loan. The Jew needs him. Yisrael tzarech lo v'azel modeh. Avol maso matan shel mekach u'memkar. But business, lo chashiv le'rafka kulei hai. That's not a... You don't go and thank your God because you bought something. Shekeinu revach Yisrael k'mo revach shalo. He says very simply, you benefit the way the other guy benefited.
Yeah.
I got a TV, you got money, or I got the money and you got the TV.
Transaction.
Exactly, he says... Right, that's Rabbeinu Tam's whole point. Right? Rabbeinu Tam said, don't get Rashi. How can you tell me that a guy is going to go thank his God because so he went into Best Buy and bought a flat screen TV? Of course they sold it to him. Right? He's going to go to his God and say, oh, that wonderful guy at Best Buy. Thank you, God, that you made the guy at Best Buy sell me a new computer. Of course he sold you the computer. That's his job. You go to Best Buy. Yeah. Either they sell it to you. If they don't have it in stock, they send you the next Best Buy, which is a kilometer down the road.
The guy who's like stinks. We said thank God. We said thank God the person at customs when we got to Canada was a Jew. Like we had so much trouble getting to Canada, and next thing we need is this guy asking us several questions. The guy at customs is a Jewish person. He saw me with my tzitzit and kippah, me and my brother. Looks at the IDs, matches our faces. Doesn't even ask who's who.
Okay.
Just go.
Right.
My mom. Yeah. It's you could have a guy who's way worse who asks several questions.
No, it's true. You could have a case by business where they will thank God. Correct, but that's not enough of a reason, right? Meaning, yes, you know, you could say, look, I'm a Jewish, store clerk at Best Buy. So in Echanami, I'm not going to be a jerk, right? Some of the guys are jerks, right? I'm not going to be a jerk. I'm going to be nice. Right, I'm going to be helpful. I mean, they're all supposed to be helpful, right? But you're right. It could be, oh, you'll be polite, and now he'll go thank his God. Oh, thank you, God, that I didn't have a headache today. I didn't have the rude salesman. I had the polite Yosef, who's the salesman, who helped me buy my flat-screen TV. You know, he was so helpful. You're right. It could happen. Can you, Nachum, please stop that. Come on. Put that down. It's true, but he says fundamentally that's not the type of thing that you like go to your, you know, unless you normally have a miserable experience every time you go to Best Buy and it's a nice nigle when there's a nice guy there, you're not going out of your way to go to, you know, he's not going out of his way to go to church and say, oh, thank you, right? He might,
so what's right? That's not the, what's the whole chiddush then?
No, but Rashi thinks he will.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point.
And why will he do the whole effort?
That's Rabbeinu Tam says. That's the point. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not going to happen. Rabbeinu Tam says, sure, you lend somebody money, he'll be thankful. Right? You give him a present, he'll be thankful. You buy and sell with him? Meh. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, the only reason it could be also to buy and sell is because you're actually selling him a carbon. But Rashi says, no. You know, he's like Yosef. He's very, look, Yosef is... Danny is like Rabbeinu Tam. Danny says, look, it takes a lot for me to go and say a really heartfelt modim. You know, a slightly nicer Best Buy salesman is not going to make me say a deep modim. And it's not going to make the Ovid Avodah Zarah go and thank his God. Yosef says, no, I'm always looking for the little miracles that God is doing for me in life. I'm Rashi, right? I totally understand Rashi. Rashi says, I got a salesman who was willing to sell me. Right. So what? Right? So what that it's not a big deal? Maybe he didn't want to sell to me. He could have been not nice. Right? So Rashi says like Yosef and says, nah, sometimes he will thank his God. Right? You're a nice, polite salesman. He'll say, oh, Yosef was so nice to me. You know, thank you, whatever God, right, for sending me a nice salesman. Right? Rabbeinu Tam is like that. And he says, that's your job, man. Right? I don't have to thank you for anything. Right? That's exactly it. Look, no nonsense. Come on, it's no nonsense. Right? And he says, and if I buy, right? He says, I don't know. He said, look, let's say I buy merchandise. So you'll say, oh, I'm so excited because I'm going to make a killing on this. You don't know that. Right? Every time you're in business, it's scary. Or I put down $100,000 to buy a, right, merchandise I think I can sell for $1 million. So I may be somewhat excited to go sell it for $1 million. But I know that what happens if I miscalculate it, people don't want to buy it from me, I'm out $100,000. Yeah. Right? So he says, Rabbeinu Tam says, business doesn't make people that happy. Just doesn't. Yosef says, yes, it does. And that's Rashi. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, and that's Danny. Okay. That's point one. Point two is the Miskayim. So this is what we haven't seen yet. So let's read this carefully. He says, Vida. Ditanya bigamara. Sha'asru law says v'law says imahem lo asa b'davar miskayim. When we say it's asur to do business, we're only talking about something that lasts. Oh, davar shein miskayim lo. But if something isn't going to last, so it's mutter. Uperish Rashi. Sha'amru asur law says v'law says imam lefnei edem lo asa b'davar miskayim ad yom edehem dechazir lekameh b'yom edo v'azulu modeh. Rashi says, look, if something is perishable and is going to, you know, it's a week before the holiday and I sell him milk that's expiring tomorrow, right? By the time Christmas comes, he's not thanking anybody, right? The milk is gone. Right? So he says, it's only usher with something that'll last, but if it's not, it's fine, right? So it'll spoil before then. We're great. V'tani bo'gemara, davar shein miskayim mochrim lahem, aval ein lokhem mehem. But the Gemara clarifies, that's only to sell. Buying is the opposite, right? Because imagine the scene, right? Nachum, you go into the store, Erev Christmas, and there's milk, it's expiring at midnight, right?
And they go, it must be on clearance.
It's on clearance, but you go and buy it. What is the guy going to do? Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch not Hashem, Baruch, whatever he's thanking, right? That's the point. If he's Baruch Hashem, it's totally fine, right? Baruch, what? It'd still be fine. It's not an Ovidah Zara. Baruch, you know, Zeus, right? Baruch Zeus, right? Baruch Zeus, right? I had 20 bags of milk that were expiring today, right? And I thought I was going to lose all this money, and I was desperately trying to sell it at half price, and then 12 hours before I go to my temple, Nachum comes in and says, at Migdal, we're having a mishmar tonight around coffee. We need a lot of frothed milk. It's going to be done by tonight anyways. I'll take all the milk you got. He said, look, if you're selling him something that's going to expire before the holiday, he's not thankful. But if you're buying his milk that's about to expire right before his holiday, oh, is he going to be happy? Right? So Rashi says, how do you understand the sugya? You can't sell him something that's going to last the holiday. You're allowed to sell him something that's going to spoil before the holiday. But buying is the opposite. Right? Right? If I'm going to the idolater and I'm saying I'm going to buy all your stuff that's about to spoil, right? He's going to be so happy. Right? So Rashi says, I can sell him something that's going to spoil, but I can't buy the spoil. So he's going to be so happy.
Right, like, so you got to go in and buy, like, if he has spoiled milk and regular milk, you got to buy the regular.
Right, he said, that's the problem.
Oh, sure.
Right?
I thought he would buy the regular.
Right? He says, Aval v'davar shem miskayim lo. Sorry. Uperish Rashman Lokhaman, and Rashi says why? The Maravach Lahu. Because that's a real benefit. Shemitosh Enu Miskayim Misavahu Lamachro, right? The milk's about to spoil, he wants you to buy it, right? As fast as possible. So he said later on, the Gemara has a discussion. If you go into an idolatrous town, where are you allowed to buy? Where are you not allowed to buy? Max, put down the ruler, both of you. With the ruler, honestly. I feel it from here. Like, don't scratch. I feel it. It's like in my bones. You can like fiddle with it, but I feel the scratching. And you shouldn't destroy proper neighbors. He says, "V'she'ena mutar." So the Gemara later on says that if you come into a town, so you know it's around the holiday. How are you supposed to know who's an idolater? So it's very simple, right? It's very simple. If you go down, you know, Naniach Fifth Avenue, right? Right? What? Fifth Avenue?
Oh, I think it's in Naniach.
Naniach. Let's assume it's Hebrew. Naniach. Let's assume. Right? You're going down Fifth Avenue, right? Naniach. It's let's assume modern Hebrew. Right? Nun Yurchet. Right? A Hanacha is an assumption. Right, a hanacha is an assumption. So
hanacha is like a pricing off, no?
It's also a sale, but hanacha is also hanacha.
Yud nun chet.
Because there's the verb from it. So naniach, right? Let's assume, right? You're going down Fifth Avenue. How do you know which jewelry store is owned by the Satmar Chassidim and which one is owned by the Christians? So I'll give you a hint. So Naro. So it's December 24th. One of them looks normal, and the other one is decked in red and green. Right? Take a wild guess. Which one is Rabbi Yoel? What? Yeah. So the Gemara later on says that how are you going to know which one is avoided? You come into a city. How do you know which one is idolaters and which one is not? The one that's exactly. So the one that's decorated, you know. So he says, "Kasam nimishum to know some and be omeidam." Leka, the honey mili lizavune le mishum derech lokech liosamech vazomoda, but lemizban minayu davar miskayim shari the stam mocher atzefu. So he says later on when the Gemara says, "Can you do business with the stores? Which store you can do business?" The Gemara is saying that's only buying something that's about to spoil. But if you're buying something that's not about to spoil, you're allowed to buy it because it's going to make him sad. Why? So this is something you got to understand about Chazal. In the time of Chazal, most people didn't like selling. Because most people, remember, it was mostly a self-sufficient society. Right? You bought and sold very little. Right? Maybe you bartered a little bit, but you didn't really buy and sell. You bought and sold usually when you were poor. Right? And you like needed the money. So then you would sell something from your own house. People tended to be very sad when they sold, right? Because it wasn't like a normal thing. These weren't million, right? This wasn't Jeff Bezos, right? Right? It wasn't Jeff Bezos who said, right, I promise you, Jeff Bezos is not sad when he sells you something, right? He has no idea that he's selling you something.
He's surprised how
frugal
those guys are.
No, no, no. When you buy something off Amazon, he's happy. He's not like, oh, you took my 700,000th copy of Harry Potter. He doesn't care. In fact, he does care, right? This is what made him the richest man in history, right? Right? Sure. Right? It used to be that if someone was selling you Harry Potter, it was his own private Harry Potter because he was starving to death and he needed food. So normal people were selling, right? He's not starving, I promise you. Right? I promise you. Right? He might be frugal, I don't know. Right? I just know he's... I don't know. He's worth in the vicinity of $140 billion. Right? Right? I don't... You know, what does frugal mean for him? I don't know. It probably doesn't mean he's like nickel and diming, okay? It probably, you know, pastas. You know, fine. And I read some article. So fine, he could. Look, but I read an article in like one of these economist articles, and they were just doing the math for fun, right? And they said like he went on vacation, on like some super expensive vacation over the summer, and he's like, well, don't feel so bad for him, because for an average person in America, the equivalent for the average person in America to spend $1, Jeff Bezos would be able to spend, at his current wealth, it was $88,000, right? Like, he doesn't care, right? If he's buying something, he doesn't care. But the average person, like Chazal, when they were selling something, they did care, right? They weren't Jeff Bezos, okay? We know who Jeff Bezos is, right? I'm not like...
Yeah.
Yes, yes, CEO of Amazon, most successful retailer in the world. Yeah, okay, we're good. Okay, fine. You guys are too young to remember when Amazon started. Do you remember ordering books? Yeah. When Amazon was only books?
Yeah.
How young were you? I was like in high school.
A kid. Say you haven't joined us.
The only thing like... Books, like, and then it started slowly transitioning.
Yeah, yeah, but like when it first started, I was like,
I remember that one. I just remember
you know, that's where my mom probably got all those teachers started.
You're very wealthy now.
Very wealthy now.
Yes, I did.
You're up to like almost 2 grand.
Yes, well, you know what? I didn't, and I hit myself every day that my 6-year-old self or whatever didn't invest my piggy bank in Amazon. I'd be a wealthy man now. Okay?
You know what?
What?
No, Bitcoin.
Yes, I know Bitcoin.
So me and my friend knew about Bitcoin when it was 39 cents.
Yeah, well, did you invest in it?
My parents wouldn't.
Well, I'm sorry, because you know then you'd be living it rich now. Okay, good.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. So then he continues. When we say you're allowed to sell them things that aren't going to last, but you can't buy them, this is hard for Rabbeinu Tam, right? Because according to Rashi, it all makes sense. Why does Gemara care about Miskayim? Because the question is it going to last, and will he be thankful or not? According to Rabbeinu Tam, what does this have to do with anything? Right? Meaning, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's all about did you give him something for Avodah Zarah or not, right? Why would you be allowed to buy something which is not going to last? What does that have to do with Avodah Zarah? Right? According to Rashi, it makes sense. You bought the spoiling milk, he's going to go thank his God. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you bought the spoiling milk, he's not going to lead him to have a bigger carbon that he can now bring. Right? It's not happening. Because of Arash, so he says... Maybe what it means is you can't accept a gift, right? Because we already saw sometimes gifts. So you're right, you can buy off of him, right? The thing is, you can't accept a gift that's going to make him happy. That might be different. Okay. Umi ukazu shezeh dochak v'yoser. He said, but that's hard to say. V'yoser near Elise. So he said, what does it mean? So he says no. Remember we said everyone agrees that certain cases are covered by Azul Modeh, just not all of them. So the Rosh says, Rabbi Natan will agree, yes, when you buy the spoiled milk off of him, the reason that's Asur is because he's going to thank his God. That doesn't mean that everything you might do with him is because of that. This is Rabbi Natan Shita in general. Some of the types of business I can't do with him are because of Azul Modeh, and some of them are because he's going to be involved in Avodah Zarah.
Why? Because of business, he said?
Yeah. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, if I'm selling him an animal, the reason it's Asher is because he's going to use it for his carbon.
But
why can't I buy spoiled milk?
So that's
what does that have to do with him worshipping as Avodah Zarah? So Rosh says, you're right. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't disagree that sometimes the reason it's Asher to be involved with the business is because he's going to thank his God.
That's because of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Okay. Because of Oda Rosh, the Fimash goes to Rashi, Masnis, and the Chanuz, and Matar, lots of losses, Masnis, and Lomayra, and Mechira. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi mean that it's only about selling in these stores that are decorated? Vachi Perusho, losses, man, most, losses, I am a Mekach. It only means giving them merchandise and taking money. But buying is fine. Masnis, and the Samocher, Otsevhu, because, right, it means you can't sell. But you can buy because most people who buy are sad, etc. Nimtzid l'peirush Rashi. Yes, I already told you this. I just said this. In the time of Chazal, most people who sold were sad because they didn't want to sell. They were only selling because they were poor, right? Nimtzid l'peirush Rashi. Yesh b'mechira tzad iser v'tzad hester. So according to Rashi, selling has some aspects which are permitted and some which are also v'kein b'lekicha, and so through a buying. Klomar. You can't sell something that will last till the holiday. Right? To summarize the halacha, according to Rashi, you can't sell him something that will last till the holiday. But you can sell him something that will spoil before the holiday. Yes? You can't buy something that's spoiling because he's going to be thrilled that you're getting it off his hands and giving him some money for it. But you can buy something if he doesn't really want to sell it, it's going to make him sad. Right? His last copy of Harry Potter, now he won't be able to read it.
So you know? Not allowed to do.
So that you could do. You could buy that off him. Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, according to Rashi, what's the point? You can do business that will make him sad, which is either buying something that he really would rather keep, or selling him something that's going to spoil.
Going into his house.
Exactly. It's going into his house and saying, can I please buy that beautiful picture of your last picture of your grandmother? Right? Right? You can do that because it'll make him sad. Right? And he's that desperate. Right? You know, whatever. I don't want you to make a copy because I want the only one. Right? Whatever. Right? But, you know, if you're evil and sadistic, so it's a bad thing. But it's not going to cause him to be moded to his avodah zarah. That's how Rashi understands it. Right? I can buy things if it'll make him sad, and I can sell things if it'll make him sad. But I can't make him happy. That's the goal. Lupeirush Rabbeinu Tam. How does Rabbeinu Tam understand? Nami ika b'mechirat tzad eser v'tzad hester v'chev l'kicha elashen v'nin acher. This is how it shakes out for Rabbeinu Tam. Tzad eser d'mechir ayinu davar b'ni davar t'krovet. Rabbeinu Tam says, selling him, what's the only thing I can't sell him? Something that's going to be used for avodah zarah. V'tzad hester d'ida ayinu kol midid labar t'krovet. And I can sell him anything else. But in terms of buying, he agrees with Rashi that I can only buy things that are not going to spoil. But things that are going to spoil will make him too happy. Because of Atosu Sham, Gavihad Gamar Rabbeinu Yirmiyaz Oven Pita De Pas Chashavu, da da da. Okay. This is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. But there's one more position, the Rambam. Aval HaRambam Kazaberk Desh, also Likach Mayam Vilimgram Davar Miskayim. The Rambam doesn't buy this whole thing. He says, if something is a non-perishable, it's a can of corn, right? You can't buy it or sell it. And you're allowed to buy and sell things that are perishable. Why would he say that? Right? Does that make any sense? right? He says you can buy or sell spoiled milk, and you can't buy or sell a can of corn. Why? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. If you buy his spoiled milk, he's going to be happy. Why are you allowed to do it? Mm-hmm. Right? And if I sell him the can of corn, he's going to be happy. Why am I... What?
He's selling it for cheaper. He's still...
So what is he saying? So he says... So he just says it's a blanket rule, and hachi pirusho. Lo asur legamre binyan korban likach el b'davar miskayim. It goes like this: the only thing that's totally asur is buying and selling non-perishables. Aval b'davar sheinu miskayim, but a perishable, lo asur legamre. It's not fully asur. Sha'av b'shasur likach. Lo asur limkor. It's asur to buy, but it's not asur to sell. He says that's not what the Rama means. The Rama means as follows.
He said,
you can't buy or sell non-perishables.
What's perishable?
I mean non-perishables, things that won't spoil.
Oh.
A book, right? Yeah. You can't buy or sell that. You can sell a perishable, right? I mean, you can sell him a bag of spoiled milk,
okay,
or even just milk, a few days before the holiday. But you can't buy something
that's non-perishable.
That's perishable. Right, because he wants to sell it. He's going to be happy if he manages to sell it.
Ah, okay, yeah, but you're not allowed to buy.
But non-perishables, you can't buy or sell. V'had etanya davar shein miskayim mocherlem avalok. Chamem leferushay maidek etanya by brais aval davar shein miskayim lo asya. V'tayma de mutter limkor lem davar shein miskayim. And he says, why is it mutter to sell something that's perishable? V'asr likach mehem afil davar miskayim. And why can't I buy something even non-perishable? Haynu mishum dik shemochel davar shein miskayim biyomeido ein lo Ain lo lo maz lo chayfetz shmo dalehem. Because if I sell him something which is going to spoil right now on his holiday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He neither has the object nor the money.
Yeah.
Because right,
why he paid the money.
Right. What's going to happen if I sell it to him?
Uh-huh.
Right. Flip it. Right. He comes into my store and buys my spoiled milk.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the only thing he can afford. He's not going to be happy. Why? Because he still paid me a few bucks for my spoiled milk. And in 3 hours from now, he's not going to have the milk either.
Okay.
Right? Or even good milk. Right? He's going to drink it up. It's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he says, that's why the Rambam says, I can sell him on his holiday something that's perishable.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to lose money by buying it, and the thing's going to disappear like that. Right?
Good.
Or even if it is good, but it's going to spoil. Okay. Right? It's a davar shein miskayim. He's not going to thank before his holiday.
Spoils.
Because by time it gets to the holiday, it'll spoil.
Okay, like that. Okay.
But when I buy, so he says, and this is the chiddush though, let me just finish this. But according to the Rambam, what am I never allowed to do? Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because selling, I could sell him something that's going to spoil, but I can't buy something that's going to spoil. Why? Right? Or spoil. I can't buy anything from him. Why? Right? And this is the Rambam's chiddush. I can sell it, right? The Rambam, the way the Beis Yosef understands him is I can sell him something that's going to spoil. I can't sell him something that won't spoil because that'll last to the holiday. Buying, I can't buy something that'll spoil or won't spoil. Why?
He's getting money.
And what the Rambam was worried about is it's true, right? Even if I buy his last copy of Harry Potter and it makes him sad, he still might thank his God on the holiday. Why? Because comes Christmas, and he takes the money that he got from the 20 bucks I gave him for his book that wasn't even worth that,
mm-hmm,
right? And what does he do? He buys two $5 presents for his kids,
mm-hmm,
right? And he's happy, right? Right, in the end of the day, he has money, right? And therefore, the Rambam says, right, Rashi says, right, I can buy something that's non-perishable, and I can sell something that's perishable.
Right.
Right, and vice versa. The Rambam says, look, selling, you can't sell, you can only sell him a perishable because he's not happy.
Okay.
But buying, you can't do anything, perishable or non-perishable, because money isn't perishable. Right? That's the key. The Rambam thinks, I can't buy anything off of him. Right? Because if I buy anything off of him, what the Rambam's worried about is he's going to have money until the holiday. That's asur.
So that's the conclusion?
So that's the Rambam's shita.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Rambam says you can't buy anything. You can only sell things which are perishable. Right? Rashi says, I can buy non-perishables and I can sell perishables. Right? And I can't buy non-perishables and I can't sell non-perishables.
Okay.
Right? I think I got that right. But the Rambam just says, I can't buy anything because then I'm giving him money, and I can sell perishables if they will spoil before the holiday. That's miskayim.
What do you mean?
Right? I mean, if I sell him milk 3 days before the holiday, it's going to spoil. That's fine, because it'll spoil.
Yeah.
And that's it. Right? That's it. Right? That's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam. That's the last thing I wanted to say.
What's Rashi saying? What's it?
Right, so remember, Rashi says, no, I'm allowed to buy things that are not going to spoil. Uh-huh. So he's not going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rambam says you can never buy anything. That's the big difference, right? The one difference
between them.
The one difference is as follows. The Rambam says you can't buy anything from him before his holiday because he's going to give him money.
Yeah.
Rashi says I can buy, if I buy something off him, he's going to be sad.
Yeah.
Right? It's true that money will last.
It'd be something worth it. Some non-perishable, you mean.
Right, meaning I bought his book.
Yeah.
Right? But now he's sad because he doesn't have his book. Yeah. I'm allowed to do that because he's not going to thank his God. The Rambam says, no, I can't do that because he may be sad that he gave you the Harry Potter.
Then he will have money.
That money, and that's what the difference is in the end of the day between Rashi and the Rambam. That one point. Everything else they agree on, basically. Yeah. Okay? We're done with this. Tomorrow we're going to move to a totally different topic on the nature of Psak, which is on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph.